Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. Hi, my name is Ann McMillan. I am the Master Wealth Builder, helping you to build a wealthier business and life. And I am excited again today to be here with you and my co-host, Dan Calloway, and none other than Steve White. But today's guest is none other than Steve White. Listen, many of us travel the world looking for diamonds only to find them in our own backyard. And as we have all from Riviera Beach traveled, even if it's to Palm Beach County or the city of Delray or Miami, what we find in time is that we left our diamond mine at home in our city. And so as a result of that, we created this show, Dan, Steve, and myself, to help promote those of us who are born and raised in Riviera Beach, and then those who we've adopted who just continue to help the city grow in a very positive way. And so this month, the month of January, we're interviewing individuals talking about the subject of education. And so with that thought in mind, we want to bring on our co-host Dan Calloway and Steve White as we interview Steve and with his business as the education consultant for the Riviera Beach Youth Recreation Association expert in education. So, Dan?
Yes, good afternoon. This is really important. Well, every Sunday is important, but this is the highlight because I think that education is the number one component that we should strive to be excellent in, because the more we can get the kids' mind expanded in certain fields, it'll eliminate a lot of things, and the progress need to happen with the basis of good education. And there's no one I know that out of Riviera has exercised that over these years, and that's our guest today, and I'm one of our co-hosts, Steve White. Steve, you know the ritual of where you started, where you are now, and where you're trying to go. Would you start there?
Yes, sir. Well, as I said before, you know, born and raised in Riviera Beach and attended the schools here in Riviera Beach during that time, Lincoln Elementary and Lincoln Junior High, and had the, before we moved over to North Shore, where I graduated high school, but growing up and attending the schools here, we had the benefit of teachers and principals and people in the community who just literally loved us unconditionally and gave us the foundation and helped really to nurture my desire to want to learn and to want to know. And because, you know, as we go forward and talking about education, the one thing that I know, even looking at myself, is that children come into the world with a natural desire to know. It's why children always ask the question, why? Because they want to know. And so as a child, I was one of those children who just really, really wanted to know. I had a zest for learning, and I was blessed with teachers and with parents who nurtured that. And so what I have done as an adult is really try to give back to a certain extent. I could never match everything that they did for me, but try to give back and provide students with the same type of nurturing, whether it was our own son and daughter or all of the children that I've worked with over the years, to give them that same kind of nurturing and give them that foundation and help to satisfy or stimulate their quest and desire to know, to want to know, to learn. Because children, that's a natural desire that children have. And one of the things that happens over the years is that we as the adults in their lives, actually, we're the ones who put that light out oftentimes. We're the ones who kill it. And then we turn around and say, well, you know, I don't know what happened to that child or why he's like this or why she's like that. But they didn't come into the world like that. And so I was given that foundation, and people, like I said, nurtured me and gave me the foundation that I needed. And that's what we're attempting to do now, the same thing, just to replicate what we had for many, 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 many years in Riviera Beach.
Well, Mr. White, I'll address you with Mr. White, along with you, the lead person today. I'll go back to Steve next month, next week.
Okay.
Tell us about the after-school tutorial program that you and four other teachers with math, reading, and current events in Black history. Expound on that for a few minutes, because that is very important with the pandemic going around and nobody in brick and mortars, and you got to do it online, and the importance of that type of tutorial program going on that you are a part of.
Okay, yeah, I'd be honored to talk about that. So the thing, and particularly for the parents and for the adults that are listening, we know for a fact that with the virus, as you were saying, Mr. Calloway, and forcing the schools to shift to virtual learning, that so many of our students have fallen behind, a disproportionate number of our students in the Black community, let's just be frank, in the Black community, they have fallen behind as a result of having to go to school virtually. And so one of the things that we're doing under your vision, Mr. Calloway, with the Youth Recreation Association, is providing an after-school program at John F. Kennedy Middle School. And it's a really, really important program because it focuses on the core subject areas of reading and mathematics. And so when our children fall behind, they're falling behind oftentimes because of their inability to read and comprehend, because they are getting behind oftentimes in the basic mathematics, and therefore they just continue to fall behind as math advances. So what we're doing is we're offering a virtual opportunity for the students at John F. Kennedy to get additional academic support 4 days a week in the afternoon. School is out around 4 o'clock at John F. Kennedy. At 4:30, those students come back on virtually, and they work with teachers, their own teachers that are on staff at John F. Kennedy, who knows the students, who's able to address their areas of weakness, if you will, and help them. And it's a great program because reading and mathematics are the two core subjects. The challenge that we continue to face with this program is getting both parents and students to take advantage of it. We know that students oftentimes, they're children to a certain extent, so they're not going to always make good decisions. But that's why as adults in their lives, we are there to guide them. So one of the things that I want to say to any parent that's listening, or any adult for that matter, is to encourage your child or your children to take advantage of this program, because we're going to look around and we're going to find that our children at John F. Kennedy and other schools in Riviera Beach and throughout, many of them are going to end up being a year behind, maybe even more. And so one or two things are going to happen. Either they're going to be retained, or the schools may just move them forward to the next grade, but they're not going to go to that next grade level with the skill set that they should have attained in the previous school year. So one of the things that can help offset that is to take advantage of an after school program like we're offering, so that they can stay sharp in their reading and their math. And I'm sure that even if there's other areas that those teachers need to help them with, they are willing to do just that. But it's a great program, and like I said, it was your vision, Mr. Calloway, but it's a great program because children need all of the enhancement that they can get. When my own children they were in school, if they were weak in an area, there's no shame in saying, okay, let's give them the additional help they need. I remember we had to pay for a tutor to come in and work with one of our children one time. And now we're offering that same quality tutoring in this particular program at no charge at all to the students. So we're just saying take advantage of it, make a good decision and take advantage of it, because if you're not reading proficient, if you're not math proficient, then it's going to be difficult for you to have a successful academic career. And it's going to impact every aspect of your life, because just look at the fact that we're doing school virtually. The fact that we're doing school virtually is a sign of how this whole society has become a society that is based on technology. And we're not going to go backwards. It's just going to continue to move forward. And so if you're not proficient in reading so that you know how to process this information and stay up on the technology, that's going to be a big part of not only our lives, but you can imagine for the young people. So this is critical to not just their success in middle school and high school, but it's critical to their success in life. And that's what we're offering, you know. I mean, and it's really, like I said, it's unfortunate that many of our students and our parents, because I have to point some of the blame at the parents in the sense of saying, if you are aware, take advantage of it. If you're not aware, then now we're bringing it to your attention so that you can take advantage of it, because reading and mathematics, those are two core subject areas that our students must become very proficient in.
Mr. White, I need to bring this up now. You hit on a couple of things. We adopted John F. Kennedy Middle School a few years ago, and when I came to you to take over the tutorial program, you readily accepted the challenge, and we are doing really well for giving them the basic education to keep moving. But I think in my mind that that's 6th, 7th, and 8th graders we're working with. We should
right.
be working with at least the third grade and the fourth grade, the elementary kids. See, because the foundation of reading and math and a lot of things start in the early grades. Because we don't have the funds, but last week on the program, our guest was Mr. Knowles. Mr. Knowles brought up, and we asked him the question, and he said we need to go before the school board and recommend that they fund a program like we are doing. Then I must say this on this radio program, the first check the Youth Recreation got to sponsor a semester came from Ann McNeil. Now that happened. Now after that, it's been my responsibility with my funds with the Youth Recreation, and personally we are keeping this going. But I think that we need to talk about, wouldn't you rather have the kids much earlier than 6th, 7th, and 8th grade?
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, we know that in those early years, in those formative years, as they like to say, that is a critical time to reach students. Because what we are finding, and I think I remember we talked about this before, is that we're even finding that students are coming into school for the first time when they are coming into kindergarten, that they have missed so much, because there's this term that the school district used called kindergarten ready. And so there's certain skills that a child is expected to bring when they first enter school. So those years, those early years, whether it's even before they hit kindergarten or like you're saying, when they hit elementary and first, second, third grade, et cetera, yeah, that's critical, because they're going to learn the basics of reading, the basics of math, and also just develop a love for learning and a love for school that they will carry on. Because the middle school is probably the most challenging time in a student's life, in my opinion, you know, and there's a lot of documentation to support that. So We can catch them in middle school and give them that enhancement that they need, but to get to them at an earlier age and help just to solidify that foundation that they need, absolutely. I don't think there's any question that there's a huge advantage if you can reach the children. The younger, the better.
Well, the other question is, you were in the meeting the other night, and, of course, Ann has given her consent to be a part of that. When I schedule a meet that, and we're going to meet on the second Thursday each month. We just met two times this month because of interviewing their candidates. The highlight is that right now we should put more emphasis on feeding the mind of our students. One way or another, we're going to put together how to do that, and you agreed with your staff that we can do this year-round, which I really like that. Maybe take a month off in the summertime, because there is a lot of kids need to be in a classroom so many hours a week. Now they get out there and play basketball, football, and everything year-round. Why can't we have the tutorial program year-round? I can understand 11 months or maybe 10 months, but we need to give them more than the regular school of 9 months. What do you say about that?
Well, yes, absolutely. And I think, you know, more and more educators and school systems, they're all agreeing that that's necessary, because we do know that when children have that summer, and I'm not against them having the summer, but there's things that we can do to continue to work with them during the summer. Because, again, it's been documented that children have the 2-3 month layoff during the summer, that they do lose some of what they gained during that previous school year. I mean, that's documented. So when they come back to school in the fall, there has been a drop-off oftentimes. And so now teachers have to spend time catching up on some of what was lost over the 2-3 month summer, you know, typical summer period. So if there's some academic enhancement that takes place over the summer, then yes, it gives students a head start. It gives them an advantage when they come back into the new school year. You know, it's just, you know, refreshing them over what they just went through for the 9 months that they were in school or working on areas of weakness, et cetera. It helps to strengthen them and give them a foundation to, again, to build on when they come back for the following school year. So absolutely, that would be great to continue some type of learning over the summer period.
Well, may I make a suggestion? I think that the kids who are failing, they used to have under the Urban League, personally had a program where those kids who had made bad grades, they went to summer school so many hours and they got a couple of hours of job and was paid. I remember that. But I think that if you put a program and bring it before the youth recreation, that you would take so many kids who fail certain subjects that you were offering. Not the one that you have just say every day, every week now at John F. Kennedy. These kids can come from anywhere in Riviera, in the area, and do that in the summertime and let the students who did well in the program have the summer off. But I think that we need to make, if we can play sports year-round, we need to have education year-round. That's what I believe. Now, how do you feel about that?
I agree. And you know, it's good that you bring up sports, because, like I said, I love sports, nothing against it at all. But you're absolutely right. There's no one questions the good athletes engaging in their sport year-round. Matter of fact, it's looked at as a sign of their dedication and their commitment to their craft that they're working hard during the off-season. And so, yeah, that same attitude and that same approach is what should be taken when it comes to education, that you work at your craft, if you will, year-round. So absolutely.
Well, of course, this is the first month of the year, but it's our third month of our fiscal year. I think that knowing it as the athletic director and the components that we deal with the youth recreation, I'm writing up something right now to put in. It's two things that we're going to highlight right now. We're going to put more emphasis on education and then feeding the people like we did this weekend. And if you want to know that, of course, I've been talking about this for the last month or so. We fed 52 families. And there was not one father or man in that house. It was either grandmother or mother with three kids. So we predicated it on four people in every family. And it was just a wonderful. Some of us was in tears because the people were so grateful that they had a food. We bought enough food to feed them for a month. In each family, we spent over $20,000 doing all that. Well, that's going to last a month. We're going to keep on doing that. But we're going to highlight education more than we ever, because we got you and your group. And we are very satisfied about that. And I can't thank Ann enough to get us off. And that really helped us a lot. So I want you to come up with a plan. and you know that if that company build that fan where they can house it right by Stony Brook, you and I talked about, and I need you to tell the public about the idea of teaching the people at Stony Brook so many days and 2 days teaching the parents, because if the parents in Stony Brook ever learn to get off and get an educational background where they can pass certain tests and how to go on the computer to get those jobs, they can get out of Stony Brook. They can be self-supporting. Would you explain that to our audience?
Yes. So we know that well, first of all, you're exactly right. So that they can become self-sufficient. And so one of the things that I propose and that we're looking to do is really to give parents to help them acquire marketable skills, right? And so if it means actually setting up the classes, and to a large extent that is what it will mean, setting up classes that where we can provide some training to parents and get them prepared to go into the marketplace with skills that they can make money. Some parents have some great business ideas, so if we can help them to launch a business, we can also help them to better understand their role in the education of their children. There's just a lot of educational things we can do. For instance, I've been I have an affiliation with the development team that hopefully will move forward with the redevelopment down at the marina area. And one of the reasons why I was asked to get involved was exactly what you're saying right now, and that is to make sure that people in the community can benefit from that. And one of the ways that we make sure that they benefit is that they have the skill sets that are going to be utilized in that project. And so if we have to set up training programs, educational programs for the adults, you know, that is critical. That's, you know, with the work that I've done in prison and working with men there, what I have learned without question is that when those men come home and they have acquired some type of skills while they were incarcerated and now they can come home and get a job or start a business, they don't go back to prison. Those men do not go back to prison. If they're able to come home and find gainful employment, as we say, they do not go back to prison. And so when you have adults in our community and we can help give them those skill sets that they'll need, like I like to say, to bring to the marketplace. Because if you have skills that you can bring to the marketplace, then you can make money. But if you don't have the skill set, then you're not. Because, again, to go not to just focus on the technology, but the technology has changed the economy. So the way things were done 20 years ago or 30 years ago, they're no longer being done. So even if it means taking adults, parents, and bringing their skill set up to the 21st century requirements, you know, because the way business is done is differently than it was, again, like I said, 20, 30 years ago. And so when they talk about high unemployment in Riviera Beach or any other community similar to Riviera Beach, one of the reasons for the high unemployment is not necessarily because there aren't jobs available, but because the population has not been prepared for the new jobs. And so that's one of the things that we can do with an educational program, not just work with the youth, but also work with the adults as well. And I would love to be a part of that. I've had opportunities to do some things similar to that in the past, but we could take it to a whole nother level.
Well,
I just want to interject something that while listening to Steve and thinking about some things that our guest from last week, Mr. Brian Knowles, talked about. Just found a link on the Google that I want to just share that we may want to look into. And actually, it's the African American Latino and Gender Studies Summer Institute, because we might be able to tap into some existing resources that already exist to augment what we're planning on doing. And if I can just read what it says, and this is directed from Mr. Knowles' office, But it says the Office of African American Latino Gender Studies conducts two summer institutes every year, which provides professional development to teachers, administrators, and the community that would allow them to better meet the needs of African American and Latino students. The Latino Studies Summer Institute will be held in June. The African American Summer Institute will be held also in June. Renowned scholars from all over the nation will present topics that focus on cultural competency, equitability, and individual instruction. These annual events attract up to 500 participants from various schools in Palm Beach County and the district. Our goal is to ensure that teachers and school administrators acquire the knowledge needed to involve student achievement within these subgroups. To ensure that we are able to meet our goal, and this is something we can use for our sponsorship and scholarship, is that to ensure that we're able to meet our goal, providing teachers and school administrators with quality professional development, the school district of Palm Beach County invites businesses and community organizations to get involved by considering a sponsorship to provide the following. And then it says, you know, from 500 to 5,000, all of the things that they provide, supplies, pens, pencils. And then it goes on up to different levels of sponsorship from 500 to 5,000, it gives the levels and what you get. I just wanted to just share that because of what we're talking about specifically for Riviera Beach, we can also tap into a lot of the existing resources to augment what Steve is going to be presenting as he manages these summer programs. A lot of resources out here and money out here that we can ask for to support our kids and families in Riviera Beach. So I just want to just share that. And Steve, we want to thank you for a phenomenal job.
Well, thank you. And that particular institute that you just read, and I've been really honored, that's really the right word for me, to be one of the presenters for the last several years, and I will be presenting again this summer. And it is a phenomenal experience and opportunity for the community. So, yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. It's really like this great secret thing that's going on, because you mentioned 500 people participating, but it can accommodate even more, and so it's really, really good. So thank you for that.
Well, I need to, and between Ann and Steve here, I need to have Adi and our secretary Theresa Johnson, but we can write fill out a whatever it is to try to get funds. We got the kids, and Steve got the instructors. Only thing that ever stop us is funds. And the only reason why we need help with that, because we don't know, and because of the pandemic has put more strain and stress on Dan Calloway as the event and athletic director for 57 years to help raise the funds, and we've been blessed with people to helping us out. But when people, if they come up between feeding someone and teaching someone, then I got to give the resource toward to feed them, because if they're not fed, they're not going to learn their know-how. So whatever we need to do right away to get in there about the funds they will sponsor for our education program, please let us know and let us put that together. Go ahead, Stephen.
Okay, no, I know we're about at that time, and so did you want us to just wrap up at this point?
We can, but I just wanted, what I like about what this is, and it was, I think it was help support, and I did put the link inside the blog talk, the podcast episode, but
okay,
how they broke down what the money goes for, I think is something that we can add to our sponsorship level for the GoFundMe. And so that's really what I wanted to just mention, because the sponsorship levels and how they do that, it lets a sponsor know, for example, if you give us $3,000, your individual sponsor table at the event, we're going to acknowledge you during the training session, recognition on Facebook, Twitter accounts, name and logo prominently displayed on materials, missing an advertisement to the event, and it just goes on. But then something as simple as $500 can help provide supplies, pens, pencils, folders, snacks, and things like that. I'm just saying that as we look at what we're doing for the Riviera Beach Youth Recreation Association, and we want to always ask our listeners to give, and we always,
yes.
John, you can help me with this, we want to always make sure that every episode that we add the link for them to give. And I want to thank all of the listeners because, Dan, I want to tell you and Steve that every week our listener number increases. And so we are making a difference, even though we feel like we're talking to each other and our guests. But people are starting to listen, and we're promoting the show. And I do believe that, you know, as we continue to do this great work, that it will continue because it is great work. But we also want to make sure that we tap into existing resources. So like Dan, what you said, we don't have to stretch the resources you already have, when oftentimes there are resources out here we don't know about that we can tap into. Like we talked about the United Way, for example. We really need to make sure, that Otto and Secretary Teresa, they got this form for United Way. Fill that form out. Let us get certified with United Way. So when we come on our shows, we can tell everybody, click the Riviera Beach, you know, Youth Recreation Association for your giving. And that money has to go through United Way directly to you.
Well, what I need to do is have Adi to talk to Steve or one of you. All we need is the phone. And what we should do to get in that United Way, to be in the room, to be able to get a donation or support two programs, education with the tutorial and feeding the people who have lost jobs through this pandemic. It's not going to get any better. The virus is going to spread more, and if we don't get more vaccine, we're going to have more death. So we're going to have to fight hard to get people food, because if they don't have the right food and eating properly, they are vulnerable for any kind of disease. So we got to do that. This week, Steve, would you orchestrate with Adi and to get whatever forms to fill out for the Youth Recreation Association?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll reach out to him tomorrow.
That'd be perfect.
But also just touch base also with Bruce Gotten, because I know we did have the lady on our COMPTO educational series from the United Way, and he can give you her name and number.
Who
and she can work with Otto.
Is?
Bruce Gotten, he can give Steve the right person.
Right,
he can give the right person contact name so you're not running around.
Beautiful.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
All right, so we got to go around and everybody can give their closing remarks. This has been a phenomenal show, and thank you so much, Steve, for sharing.
My closing remark is simple, but at 82 years of age, I'm honored and I feel so good about the situation when people help support something to help someone who are least lost and left out. Those three things. Our motto is to take care of the least, the lost, and the left out. And when we accomplished what we did Saturday, to see those people, some of them tearing up because now they got food, and when they're getting two chickens, all this ground beef, wieners, hot dogs or whatever, sauces, eggs and all this stuff, they can canned goods that they know in their cupboard, that they got something to eat for at least a month. And we will start again after next week raising funds for the next 6 weeks. So I'm finished. Thank you, public.
Okay, so I'll wrap up quickly too. So one is hearing what Mr. Calloway just said about feeding people in the community, that I would just encourage people who are listening who want to support a program like that, you know, you can do it through the Youth Recreation Association and Mr. Calloway. From an educational point of view, just to say real quickly, we just don't have any excuses. You know, we've got to take control of the education of our children and parents and the adults. We in this community, we're the ones who have to spearhead that, because we just don't have any excuses. You know, life doesn't care about the excuses. If our children don't have the skill sets to go forward, then they're going to fall behind, period. You know, if you can't read, then you're not going to be able to compete in this economic situation in this country, Riviera Beach or any place else. That's just the reality. And so as much as I know that we live in a society that is still full of racism and white supremacist policies and all of that, I still know that if we in the Riviera Beach community don't take advantage of the opportunities we have to make sure that our children have the academic skill set to go forward, then we're really playing into the hands of those who want to keep us in a second-class position. So we're part of the solution with the after-school program at John F. Kennedy. So we're not just saying, okay, here's the problem, and we're not doing anything about it. We're part of the solution by offering an academic program at John F. Kennedy that focuses on the very subject areas that will give our children a chance to be successful. So I would just encourage everybody, children and adults, to get in touch and take advantage of this program and many others that are out there.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Hey, Ms. McNeil.
Yes. As always, I'm just busy posting and sharing the show because I want to make sure that people have access to connect with what you've said. And so, again, it's been a phenomenal show. Now I want to invite everyone to please comment, like, and share the show. Comment, like, and share the show. It's on Facebook, it's on LinkedIn, it's on Twitter, and I'm posting it now to Pinterest and all the other social media platforms. And as always, hashtag We Are Riviera Beach. I am Riviera Beach. Hashtag I am Riviera Beach. You can Google it. You can search that. Hashtag I am Riviera Beach. And there are many of us from Riviera Beach, like Dan and Steve and myself. And we really just want to encourage you, if you're listening to this and you are from Riviera Beach and you'd like to be interviewed, let us hear from you. You can reach all of us at our different numbers that's posted in the information, and we would gladly, gladly have you on the show to share. All right? And with that, we'll see everybody next Sunday. Same time, same place. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Bye-bye.